to me. It's right through me. Don't you understand? Oh, my little girl. And hello out there in Radio Land. It is your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live today. And I believe it is the 6th of March, 2024. Yes, that's correct. And I finally made it back live. Life's been a bit of a touch-and-go thing lately, professionally and personally. But we're always soldiering through these things. Of course, I'm joined today here on Stop the Presses by Ron Avery, which is usually the arrangement when he's available to be a sounding board for the many issues that we sort out. And there are some interesting and sort of different issues today that we're going to bring up. And one of them has to do with what some of us may have heard. And I don't know if other, beg your pardon, allergies. I don't know if other RBN hosts have been talking about this. It's hard enough to do the show and other news duties and other things, let alone keep up with what many of the other fine hosts are doing on republicbroadcasting.org. But one thing, we'll start with this, and then we're going to get into later, a little bit later, some of the things that the current British Prime Minister had to say about God and country, rather disquieting things. But first, we'll talk a little bit, Ron, about, and I don't know if you heard about this, but there is a AI product called Gemini that Google came out with. And when users got their Gemini units and turned them on and asked the units basic questions, my brother Jim up north in Michigan, he has Alexa. I don't know who manufactures Alexa. I don't keep up on these things. But when you ask it historical or miscellaneous or news-related questions, it's generally accurate in the conventional sense anyway. But Gemini, produced by Google, an artificial intelligence product, when asked to describe or show an image of George Washington, I guess it has some sort of video screen on it. I have not seen the Gemini units. I don't know exactly what they look like. But when asked about George Washington, he turned out to be a black guy. And it appears that the liberal bias that you would come to expect from a company like Google is hardwired and baked right into the bread of the Gemini AI product. So other questions that were posed to Gemini were answered with similarly absurd, inaccurate, and unexpected answers. So it informationally, in terms of history, in terms of current events, it is basically useless, because there's this idea these days that you can live by not the truth, but live by ideology, something that you simply want to be true, or it's a belief system that achieves some end, oftentimes some illicit end, and you stick with it because of expected virtual or actual rewards that you might get from following that ideology. Maybe you're part of a political party and you like the perks, you like the social life. So rather than embrace the truth, spiritual truth as well as temporal truth, you embrace the party line, and the ideologies, the belief systems that go with it, no matter how absurd. And so this is what's being baked into the bread, Ron, of the Gemini AI product out of Google. And I don't know if you've heard this. If you've heard about it already, let me know. If you haven't, either way, I wonder what your reaction might be to this.
Are you asking the question now?
Yeah. I was
Well, I've not heard of Gemini. And I'm not surprised, though. It looks like they would have at least, like if you ask it, who is George Washington, they would show several choices, not just, one. That seems kind of, You know, I admit maybe there's some other important George Washingtons around, but generally George Washington, first president of the United States, would certainly be number one that pops up.
Reading a little bit from the most recent edition of American Free Press, the headline, "Scandal Exposes Liberal Bias Baked into AI, excuse me, subhead, "Woke AI Focuses on Promoting New Racial and Cultural Stereotypes." First paragraph, "Tech giant Google is under fire over its new AI program called Gemini that has been churning out, quote, anti-white, historically inaccurate nonsense," end quote. The scandal reveals how useless these new systems can be due to biases that have been baked into them, courtesy of the far left-wing developers that are building them at Google. This was written by the AFP staff. But here's where it gets a little more interesting. The Attorney General of Montana, Ron, has taken notice. A February 28, 2024 press release, Attorney General Knudsen, K-N-U-D-S-E-N, first name Austin, Attorney General Austin Knudsen demands answers from Google regarding the woke AI system. First paragraph out of Helena, Montana. Montana Attorney General Austin Knudsen is demanding answers from Google execs regarding the company's AI system Gemini, as the system, get this, may violate Montana law. So it's not just potentially or actually inaccurate, it's allegedly in violation of Montana state law by providing inaccurate info to users to fall in line with the tech giant's political preferences. And here's the part that is the hook: without disclosing that fact to consumers. So in other words, consumers are buying this Gemini product and they don't know ahead of time that rather than being objective and accurate, that the system is weighted one way, leaning very heavily to the left, according to these accounts. And in a letter sent to Google's chief exec and chief legal officer, Attorney General Knudsen outlines his concerns with Gemini's design and goals, which appear to deliberately provide inaccurate info that furthers Google's political agenda. This is still from Montana's press release. While presenting that the goal of the system is supposedly to provide high quality and accurate information to users. And so it actually breached, or apparently breached, or allegedly breached Montana law, Ron. And I would think that if that would breach the state law in Montana, then potentially it would be in violation of the state laws of, I would assume, all 50 states.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know why they can't make an AI, artificial intelligence unit that just does, rather than tampering with how it looks and what it looks for on everything. In other words, instead of skewing it, why can't they just make a general product that just is a crawler that crawls the internet and gets what you ask for? And no matter where it is, no matter what they answer, and pops it up there. I don't believe these things ought to be tampered with at all in AI.
You know, that's a good point. AI is one of those things that, as long as there's some attention paid to how it's applied, how it's used, the context in which it's used, it could be a handy tool. One could imagine AI being an extremely handy tool for deducing who committed a crime in a mysterious situation. Maybe AI could deduce more about 9/11. Maybe AI could deduce more about JFK. These are these big political crimes, but more everyday crimes. You could see how a detective unit might benefit from this. But as you're indicating, Ron, as soon as you start intervening in the knowledge acquisition process, and if you start putting in biases, you're destroying the very usefulness of the product that you hope to promote. So unless it
I think there could even be a law. Couldn't there even be a law about this that you can't make products that are skewed to your liking to give really predetermined answers that are not honest, are not just directly from a crawler of the internet, because it's just dishonest. That's all it is. It's a dishonest activity, and I'm going to bring up this MSN.com. Every time I get on the internet, MSN.com pops up the news. And the news is always from pretty much sources they like or that have approval. I have never seen the American Free Press pop up here with an article. I've never seen anybody that had really any information that was kind of unapproved by the state pop up here. I mean, they're really trying to control what people see, even though we have this massive internet system. They're doing their best to control what people see when they get on it.
You kind of segued into the next chapter, if you will, Ron, on this topic. What does this remind you of? Gemini is biased, and one of the state's attorney generals, that's, you know, Mr. Knudsen of Montana, is saying that the problem with that is people are buying the product not knowing that it's not disclosed. Therefore, there's a form of fraud or misrepresentation taking place. Let me see, a big mystery here, right, Ron? Where else do we see a large corporate conglomerate put out information acting like it's objective, but it actually has an agenda and it doesn't disclose it? Let me see, where would that be?
Yeah.
The mass media cartel.
Yes, and you're right, and the judge is right, because that it ought to be stated. If Microsoft wants to do that, MSN wants to do that, they must say that we only crawl through certain types of approved, what we consider to be legitimate sites or sites that we agree with. Instead of just, you know, pretending that this thing is crawling the entire internet, it is. It may be crawling, but it is also rejecting input from some of the feedback they get or from the responses they get from the crawl they're doing.
Exactly. So they're not just reporting whatever might come their way. In other words, let the chips fall where they may. That's not what's happening. There's a lot of predetermination going on. And to be honest, and I think we all know this, the what's known as the alternative media has a tendency to do the same thing. But there's a difference. When I report for, let's just say, UK Column, where I report every Monday, and I'll be talking about a particular UK Column news item in a few minutes, ukcolumn.org, I report every Monday. If I do an in-depth report about the WHO, I will quote often very liberally and often very extensively exactly what the WHO had to say. Now, do I agree with much, if anything, that the WHO does or its legitimacy in terms of its existence? Overall, no. But that doesn't stop me from quoting exactly what they had to say at a press conference, exactly what they had to say on a press release. So even though I might be critical of the WHO, I still tell their side of the story.
Right. That's right.
This is not happening from the other side.
Yes, that's right. They'll only say a radical or an extremist view doesn't agree with this, or we need to be against extremists and radicals and all of that, which has no meaning at all other than to scare people away from it.
Hopefully people will catch on to that the more statist politicians like Rishi Sunak, the current PM of Britain, the more that they tell you about extremists that are lurking everywhere, and the more that they tell you not to read this and not to listen to that, hopefully people will catch on that that's all the more reason to listen to that criticized website or that criticized individual that the PM is calling out and telling you is so terrible. So pretty much anything opposite of what prime ministers like him have to say might be actually really good information. And Ron, you really gave me the segue I needed there, because Rishi Sunak is the first Brit that I know of, the first PM, that is the first British prime minister, excuse me, who is absolutely not of European / British extraction in terms of his ethnicity. Sunak is Indian, as in Bombay, India. I don't know much about him. According to Alex Thompson, one of my UK column colleagues, he is a practicing Hindu. And Alex referred to it as a particularly elite part of Hinduism. And so for the first time in anybody's memory, the British PM looks nothing like the country. And when I say things like that, there's so many people out there that automatically assume that I'm a European / white supremacist. The exact opposite is true. Here's the thing. A country's leader should reflect the basic ethnicity of that country. An Irishman should lead Ireland. An Englishman should lead England, both in their ethnicity and their nationality and their nationhood. People need their own kind, at least in the general sense, to lead, so people feel a sense of camaraderie and solidarity. That matters. You shouldn't have a Chinaman leading Bulgaria, and you shouldn't have a Bulgarian leading China. It matters. It's not racial bias. It's that people need that kind of homogeneity and that kind of cultural cohesion to function. That's the way humans are wired. But people that believe in ideologies don't care how things are wired. They want to rewire them rather than adapt to how things are wired.
Yeah, one thing I find very astonishing about this, too, is they're always advocating diversity, and Sunak was doing that, too. Proud of the diversity in England, in the UK. But then he was talking about also problems rising between these factions of people. Well, if you're constantly pushing for diversity without assimilating these people, I guarantee you that's what you're going to have. You're going to have all kinds of turmoil, and that's what they're experiencing now. And some of it they should be experiencing.
Exactly. Well put, Ron. Multiculturalism without any kind of safeguards, without any kind of assimilation, without any kind of limitations, is just doomed to failure. And there's different ways to look at what diversity really means. We're coming up in the first break, but some would say real diversity would mean that in Ireland there are Irish people, in China there are Chinese people, and you don't just mix people higgly-piggly through a forced and totally limitless migration and just move populations all over without any kind of assimilation, without any kind of regulation or discipline. All you're doing is bringing about a clash of civilizations. You're not going to bring about racial or human harmony because there's been no provision for that. It's just unmitigated migration.
Yeah, they claim that the thing that holds them together is democracy, but democracy is known not to do that. Anyway, that's it for now.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Welcome to the next segment of Stop the Presses Live today, 6th of March, 2024. Your host, Mark Anderson, and I'm with Ron Avery. He does the Search for Lawful Government on this network, and I believe that's Fridays at 4 p.m. Central Time. Right, Ron, for 2 hours?
That's correct. Thank you for the plug.
Absolutely, positively. Now, we segued into Rishi Sunak, the current PM of the United Kingdom, and I want to mention before I get into this, and we'll carry it over to the second half after the bottom of the hour and station ID, that before we get into that, what you mentioned, Ron, that all the other things that give a center, a cohesiveness to society, religion, and in the West, that by and large always means the Christian religion, family, other matters. It can be job and company related things. If you're really successful in business, that can provide some cohesion. The overall capitalist system, if it's run honestly and it's not a monopoly capitalist rigged system, can provide sort of an upward mobility, which helps the family succeed. And you undergird that with a Christian morality. And then you've also got your heritage, where you came from, who you are. But the globalist, the Rishi Sunaks of the world, and we'll get a little bit more into his philosophy in a minute, believe, Ron, that all of that can be swept away. Your God will not help you. Family is of only passing importance. Put it in the rearview mirror. Don't worry about it. And all you need is democracy, Ron, and just work your ass off until you drop dead. And that is almost, that's almost practically what Sunak so much as said in a recent major speech that we talked about in UK column this past Monday. But so all of a sudden, if you go out and vote once in a while, and never mind that you're not, you're denied any way of keeping anyone elected, of keeping them in line or truly having any influence on them. You don't want to have that. Even that's been taken away. Just have this kind of amorphous idea of democracy. Go out and cast a ballot once in a while. Somebody counts it without you seeing it, but don't worry your pretty little head about that. And then that's all you need to know. All other, you know, solidifying, cohesive, enhancing things are rendered useless or impotent. Just go vote and be in this, you know, cosmopolitan democracy, and then that's all the cohesion you need.
Yes.
It's absurd.
And it's very deceptive, too, and it's very unfair, because democracy would only be, and first of all, democracy, and I can't believe all these countries are talking about democracy when it was abandoned 400 years before Christ by Plato and Aristotle as one of the three forms of tyranny. It is tyranny by the majority. It is one of the worst forms of government you can have. And here they are all talking about the glory of democracy. They must be blithering idiots or totally uneducated. Certainly in the West, you talked about the cohesive principles of the West, or certainly Christianity number one. And America, as John Adams said, America was created for two purposes. Religious freedom, that is for Christians to be able to express their view of God and to worship Him in the way their conscience directed. And the other was to prevent the feudal system, which was where nobody owned property. Property is essential in the West. It's a Western idea that governments are created for the protection of person, every individual's property consisting of their life, liberty, and possessions. And we don't have that anymore in America. And the global New World Order, the globalists, are trying to make sure that their New World Order has no where no individual has property at all. You're just people, and whatever you have is a result of maybe came from democracy, that somehow you voted for the right thing sometime and it helped you out a little bit. But it's totally also unfair, because they control the public mind through the mass media cartel, which we've been talking about. So there's no even real democracy, because they have a curb on it. They're running it.
You know, that's the ultimate irony, isn't it? That even the democracy that they preach, such as it is, isn't actually present. It's like it's some sort of fake label they put on everything. Kind of a make-believe land, but when push comes to shove, they don't even really honor what most people think of as democracy. It can be the obvious fact that vote counts can be and often are fraudulent vote counts, and voting, of course, is not the only aspect of democracy. So even that is really something of a snow job. So what it really is just heavy-handed tyranny under the guise of what they call democracy, and people, for instance, vote, and all it is a civic ritual. It's an act of faith that vote is counted accurately, that it's counted at all, and that it's going to result in something to your benefit. That's an act of faith, and it is nothing more. But we're coming up on the break. We'll be right back.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee. So I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses here on the 6th of March, 2024. Your host, Mark Anderson. I'm with Ron Avery. And Ron, just as we stated before the first half concluded, we're going to get a little bit into Rishi Sunak's March 1st speech against extremism. And here's one of the quotes, and it dovetails into what we're talking about. This is the credo of the modern globalists. It is not the color of your skin. It's not the God you believe in or where you were born. So right away, race, ethnicity, God, and your original country of origin are all written off right there. It's none of those that will determine your success, but just your own hard work and endeavor.
Wow, that's what he said.
Yeah, I'll read it again, this time without embellishing or putting in parentheses. It's not the color of your skin. It's not the God that you believe in or where you were born that will determine your success, but just your own hard work and endeavor.
Again, if you don't have those other things that he mentioned, God and country kind of a thing, and history of your people that have delivered to you the concepts and principles of lawful government, how in the world would just work? You know, they act like work is an end in itself. The happy worker, everything is just work. Well, work is pointless without property. If you cannot take property out of the common, then work is a useless end. It's just, it's make work. It's like dig a hole and then fill it back up again. It has no point.
Let me interject there. That's a very good interpretation, Ron, because when you say, like he said, it's not the color of your skin, so ethnicity and race are out. It's not the God that you believe in, so spirituality, Jesus Christ, anything like that are out, or where you were born, your heritage is out. If none of that will determine your success, but just your own hard work and endeavor. And as you say, Ron, labor for its own sake, let's just be blunt, when there's no meaningful gain, when there's no rising higher in the social endeavor, working just for the sake of working is a very succinct definition of slavery. So what he's saying is disregard all these things that actually give your life meaning, purpose, and cohesiveness. Just work. I'm a statist I will always be, a worker bee and laborer you will always be, and never the twain shall meet. You just work until you drop. That's what I get out of this.
Yeah, I agree. And where does he think we get these ideas about lawful government and principles of even democracy? Well, not democracy so much, but where do the ideas of each government come from? They come from, like you said, from Jesus Christ, from that religion, if you want to call it that. I don't like to call it that, or from your heritage, the people you've grown up with, and he's talking here about division. Sunak says we need to we must face down the extremists who would tear us apart. There must be leadership, not pandering or appeasement. Well, what's tearing them apart? It's all this diversity and democracy, and these people don't have a chance to win in democracy. That is such a cheat, because they know, and Mr. Sunak knows, that people don't have access to the truth, and what they're getting is the mass media cartel, and that's the public mind. And so no one has a chance in democracy when people control what they hear.
Exactly, because the democracy that we're all taught about is a input-output kind of thing, isn't it? You learn a little bit from your own instincts and experiences, but largely from school, largely a state-funded statist endeavor, and from the mass media cartel. In the U.S., it's not directly a state-owned media, but it's a state-allied media. And we learn the basic reality and framework of our civic and basic human existence from that. If that's what you're learning from, and that's what informs your actions and your choices and your values, and then you're asked to vote for a proposition or vote for a candidate, then it's the whole process is skewed from the beginning. Because
that's right. Another thing is that our forefathers experienced that, and that's why they formed the kind of government we were supposed to have, was so that democracy could not do this. Certain people could not just take over the what everyone hears and then run it through. People will vote for their own slavery if you tell them the things that will deliver that. That you can make slavery look absolutely wonderful and people will vote for it. But they set up principles, the principles of property, that would regulate every aspect of government. That's what John Locke did in 1689, right out of the UK here. And the UK ought to operate on those principles too. That way, when people took control of your airways and the newspapers and magazines and everything they see, it wouldn't affect anything, because the principles of property remain regulating how government does and what it does.
Yes, eternal principles tend to negate the propaganda because the principle is like a huge rock of Gibraltar, and the winds of democratic change, the winds of globalist edicts can do very little to erode that rock. It stands firm, like all principles do. Here's a little bit more about what Mr. Sunak had to say, and he's not alone in this. It sounds like we're picking on him, but he's low-hanging fruit right now.
Gotcha.
They all talk this way, and you'll notice that there's always a general statement, an implication, but they never get into the specifics, the who, the where, the when. It's just general, broad brushstrokes. Here's what he said. This is his exact March 1st speech on extremism from 10 Downing Street in the UK. In recent weeks and months, we've seen a shocking increase in extremist disruption and criminality. And quick note, no extremist disruption and criminality is named. Going on, what started as protests on our streets, nothing about who protested or against what, all of that has descended into intimidation, threats, and planned acts of violence. Planned acts of violence. But no warning is given as to who would carry these things out, or when, or how. He goes on to say, Jewish children, fearful to wear their school uniform, lest it reveal their identity, Muslim women abused in the street for the actions of a terrorist group they have no connection with, the terrorist group is not named, now our democracy itself is a target. Let me repeat that. Now our democracy itself is a target. He goes on to say, council meetings and local events have been stormed. Stormed, he says. Doesn't say by whom, where, when, or why. Nothing about it. MPs do not feel safe in their homes, members of parliament, equivalent to our congressmen. Long-standing parliamentary conventions have been upended because of safety concerns. No specificity as to what conventions, nor the nature of those safety concerns. Nothing is defined. Then he goes on to say, I need to speak to you all this evening because this situation has gone on long enough. It's gone on long enough and demands a response. Get this, Ron, and the response mustn't just come from government. The response must come from all of us. So far, he has an unnamed boogeyman that deserves not just the government's response, but the response, as he's calling for, from every citizen, Ron, of the United Kingdom. He wants them to respond to something that he hasn't even defined.
Yes.
Now this kind of speaking is particularly disturbing when someone is intentionally nebulous and doesn't quite come to the point and doesn't quite define exactly who or what they're getting at. So
yes,
he's trying to create a state of distrust. And what he's saying, if anyone's listening, there's a caveat there, but what he's saying cannot help but create suspicion and distrust amongst the people. So therefore, there's going to be even less cohesiveness, even while he's calling for more cohesiveness.
Right. Well, I'm looking at a Telegraph article about this speech you're talking about, and I want to read just one sentence of this and show you how this is skewed and how it could have been rewritten to be more fair with what these people are they're complaining of doing, these so-called radicals or extremists. I'm going to quote this one sentence. It says, the Prime Minister's speech addressed the fallout from Hamas's October 2nd attack on Israel in Britain and came on the day that George Galloway won the by-election in Rochdale. Well, they mentioned the fallout from Hamas' October 7th attack, but they don't mention why couldn't these so-called extremists be reacting to the bombing of hospitals and churches and the machine gunning of people, unarmed people trying to get flour off of trucks. I mean, this is absolute barbarism going on, conducted by liars that call themselves Jews but deny the King of the Jews. But there's no mention of that. So it kind of makes you wonder if it was these so-called Jews that were in the street raising hell, would there be the same reaction from the prime minister as we're seeing here when maybe many Christians are upset about this as well?
You know, it's interesting that the Telegraph makes that one specificity that this somehow stems from the reported events of October 7th. And just for the record, the attack by Hamas on Israel, October 7, 2023, that reportedly sparked this whole thing, has never been shown in documentary detail, video or otherwise, that I'm aware of. And I'll put that caveat in there, that I'm aware of. It's never been shown to be the truth. In other words, I've seen nothing that proves Israel's assertions about what happened that day.
I agree with that.
And most people will just sort of, as a matter of course, they'll take it as face value truth. And I understand, in the interest of news and brevity, sometimes you kind of go with the flow on that. But just for the record, there's far more proof, in fact, undeniable proof, tons of it, of what the Israeli army has done to the largely, if not completely, unarmed people in Gaza. And that's an everyday thing in the most barbaric way possible. That is demonstrable. But the October 7 event is not something that's readily provable. It's the veracity of it. If you looked at it like any other country was involved, if you just treated Israel like any other country, then a lot more people besides us would probably be asking, yes, but you haven't really made your case that that's what happened. But in Rishi Sunak's speech, he's not as clear as the paper you're reading from, Ron, as to what this all stems from. And, okay, he goes on to say, I need to speak to you all this evening because the situation's gone on long enough, okay? It demands a response from all of us, which creates suspicion and distrust amongst the people, even though he says he's trying to create more cohesion and more trust. He goes on to say, Britain is a patriotic, liberal, democratic society with a proud past and a bright future. Liberal, democratic, okay. We are a reasonable country and a decent people. Our story is one of progress, of great achievements and enduring values. Enduring values, most of which he already swept away as irrelevant. Immigrants who come here have integrated and contributed. Well, some have and many have not. But he doesn't tell you that. They have helped write the latest chapter in our island story. Okay, how? He doesn't specify. They have done this without being required to give up their identity. Now, isn't that interesting? The immigrants who have come there, who have contributed to Britain's betterment, he's saying, have helped do that, Ron, without giving up their identity. Yes, but the native inherently born, how would you say it, the Britain-born people, the people that have lived there for countless generations, the indigenous people, if you will, of Great Britain, the Brits themselves, their identity is always being eroded. It's called irrelevant. And if you get into identity politics, you're called an extremist, possibly even bordering on criminality, the very thing that he's implying here. So only immigrants, Ron, have identity that's important, you see.
Yes, and a good point here. I'm reading a quote from his speech. It says, we must face down the extremists who would tear us apart. There must be leadership, not pandering or appeasement. Well, what's tearing them apart is not the British people. What's tearing them apart is they've got so much now immigration into the country. And not only that, what about people that came over there in 1825 and bought the debt of England for 10 cents on the dollar and essentially took over England? And doesn't that tear people apart when they no longer own their country or no longer in control of it? I mean, they don't talk about the real problems that can tear into a country instead of just somebody out protesting, because it's so these people that are protesting are feeling the futility of democracy. That's what puts you in the street when democracy doesn't work for you. That's what UK is experiencing, a failed democracy, and it's bound to fail. Democracies fail. And these people that keep promoting democracy are promoting their own destruction.
Yeah, of course, it somewhat reminds you of what Kennedy said. If you can't peacefully resolve your problems, then revolution becomes inevitable as the frustration increases. That being said, he goes on to say in this March 1st speech against extremism, blind to the fact that the real extremists are the ones in 10 Downing Street, he says, "You can be a practicing Hindu and a proud Briton, as I am. Or you can be a devout Muslim and a patriotic citizen, as so many are." So Hindu's good, proud Briton is good, devout Muslim is good, general patriotic citizen seems okay. Or a committed Jewish person and the heart of your local community. So everything but Christianity so far. Christianity is dead last. And then he adds... And then he adds this as a saving, maybe as a save, you know, you call it a save, and all underpinned by the tolerance of our established Christian church. So it's not the beliefs, the core beliefs in Christ and our redemption, that aspect of the Christian church doesn't matter. All that matters is the tolerance of the established Church of England. In other words, this polyglot, this deliberately engineered multicultural train wreck with the Hindu and Muslim and all these inputs, and I'm not denigrating those belief systems. That's not fair. It's really not part of what I'm talking about. People will always believe what they want to believe. But what he's saying is that the only thing that the established Church of England, the Anglican Church, the only thing it really is good for is being tolerant of the rest of this. So you can have this this mixture, this multicultural mix that is just throw everything in the blender and just push the on button and hope everything turns out okay. And the Christian church, instead of informing and disciplining and helping enliven culture, everyday culture and everyday society, and giving us the principles we need to resist tyranny and live a better life, all of that, according to Sunak, is something that doesn't belong to the church. The church need only be the Church of England in his context, and that church need only tolerate what's going on. You see?
Yeah, and work and be patient and vote.
Right. In other words, you plebeian, lumpen proletariat, ingrate, ignoramus, don't you know your whole life is to work for the state until you drop?
That's right. And vote. Don't forget to vote.
So I say to Sunak, just say it, Richie. Knock the pretense off and just say what I said. That you're slaves and deal with it.
Yeah, on that note, let me throw in something kind of a little off, but not too far off. I voted in the Republican primary yesterday, and it said Proposition 13 on the ballot said Texas should ban the sale of Texas land to citizens, governments, and entities from China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia. Well, you know, I went, wow, okay, well, what about Israel? Why don't you just say foreigners can't own land here? Just say that. Why go into only North Korea, Iran, China, Russia? Why not put every other country in there? Well, you know, that's not going to work. But anyway, it just shows you how useless. In fact, I didn't think there was much on the entire ballot that was almost worth any of your time to fool around with.
I noticed the property tax item. I don't know if we've got time to sort out exactly what they meant. Angie and I just put yes on those basic propositions. And
I
yet,
did
you're
too.
You're absolutely right.
But I wondered about it. Yeah.
You're absolutely right that if you're concerned about the influence of foreign governments through owning property, you need only say that foreign governments cannot own property in the state of Texas.
Right. That's the way I would have worded it.
Period.
That's right. And let the so-called Jews, deal with it the way Russians and the Chinese do.
Would that not, in the last couple of minutes we have, would that not be part of the solution to the overall immigration issue? Because you don't just want to have limits on individual people coming here, oftentimes entering illegally, and you even need limits on legal immigration. You need quotas. But wouldn't it also be part of the program, along with strict enforcement of visas, don't give out too many work visas, don't give out too many visas in general, all those logical limits, and always paying attention to assimilation for those that do become citizens legally, would it not be part of the overall picture, Ron, to have strict limits, basically a prohibition on foreign governments owning land in the U.S., because then they can't set up front companies for which illegal immigrants might be cajoled into working, and therefore any kind of espionage or any kind of cartel or illicit operations would be far less likely because there'd be no home base, there'd be no outlet or output or there'd be no location for any kind of operations, any kind of smuggling. But if you allow foreign governments and foreign corporations associated with that government to own land here, you're setting up a situation where, you know, they can set up operations, illicit ones. But that being said, that's it, Ron, for today. Thanks for being
okay.
with me.
Enjoyed it, Mark. Thank you.
Yep. And anybody that wants to send this to Richie Sunak, go right ahead. Everybody have a great day. We'll stay tuned for the next show here on RBN, and have a good one.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.